Well, good morning, guys. Good morning. You guys are the big children here, right? We had the little children earlier, now we're the big children. You guys ready for what God has in store for you today? God's been really laying this sermon on my heart for a while now, actually, for weeks, maybe months, actually. And it's kind of interesting because it's actually a second part to what Pastor Joyce did, and we did not coordinate this whatsoever. But the sermon from last Sunday is a great lead-in to what God has placed on my heart to talk about today. So I've got a few questions to start you out this morning, just to kind of get you thinking about things, and then we're going to get into Scripture here. What do you stand for? When people look at your life, if I were to call your fellow employees that you work with, etc., what would they say? What characteristics do you have? What would they say about you, and what would they say that you stand for? What influences you in your life? What are those things in your life that really, really influence you and make you who you are and help you with your decisions along your life's path, along our race, as we were talking about earlier? And what kind of impact do you make to others? What influence do you make on other people? So today I want to talk about those things and kind of get you thinking. And, you know, we come to church on Sunday and we talk about, we hear these sermons. Yeah, it's great, wonderful. Check the box and leave. But I really want you guys this morning to think about these things and how they pertain to your life and the changes that you can make. Each one of us can become better in some aspect, form, or fashion of our life, right? I mean, no one's perfect. We're all striving to be more Christ-like in our life. At least that's my prayer, that you're striving for that. So really, really think about these things that we're going to talk about today and apply them. In the next few days, pray over them, think about them, and see what changes that you need to make in your life. So what I'd like to do is start with one of my favorite stories in the Bible is from the Old Testament. It's the story of Samson. It's in Judges. It starts in chapter 13 and goes all the way to chapter 16. Now, I'm not going to read all of this verbatim. It's like four chapters worth. But it's a great story, and I encourage you during this week, you can also read through that, but I want to give you some background information, and then we'll get into the heart of what I really want you to hear this morning, or what God really wants you to hear that he's placed upon my heart for you today. So first I want to just let you know that during the time of Samson's birth, the Israelites were under the oppression of the Philistines at the time. And so an angel of the Lord appeared to Samson's mother, who was childless at the time, and was said that she was going to be childless. And he told her, "You're going to conceive and have a son." Okay, so this lady had no children up to this point, but there were certain things that she had to do. In the beginning of chapter 13, it says that she should not drink wine or other fermented drink, and that she should not eat anything unclean. And when she gives birth to this son, no razor would be used on his head, because the boy is to be a Nazarite, set apart to God from birth, and he will begin the deliverance of Israel from the hands of the Philistines. Okay, so the one rule, well, a couple rules, she had to obey and do her thing with no drinking of wine, no unclean food. And then the second thing was no razor should touch Samson's head at any time. Okay, so we go along, and there's some really cool stories with Samson, and we can see in chapter 14, he's really strong. When the power of the Lord comes upon him, there was a lion that charged at him, and he completely tore and killed the lion with his own bare hands. This lion, as it came towards him, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. And then later on, we can see that after a little marriage situation thing, you can read about in chapter 14, that the Philistines came toward him after he had been taken by the other Israelites. There's a story behind that, but we'll keep on moving. But in the Spirit of the Lord, after the Philistines were coming on him, he was all tied and bound up, and the Philistines came upon him, and once again, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him so much, it says up in verse 14 of chapter 15, it said the ropes of the arms became like charred flax, and the bindings dropped from his hands. Finding the fresh jaw of a donkey, he grabbed it and struck down 1,000 men. So Samson alone killed 1,000 men. He was anointed by God, and there's his anointing. Boy, I'm telling you, he took care of those Philistines. And it says later in chapter or in verse 20, it said that he led them for 20. He led the Israelites for 20 years in the time that they were under the oppression of the Philistines. So here's this really powerful, awesome guy. Okay, I kind of think of him maybe like as the quarterback of the football team, maybe in high school. He's probably all handsome, like a little Fabio thing going on with his long hair and everything, you know. So here's Samson. Everything is going great. The Spirit of the Lord's upon him. No razor has cut his hair. And things are rolling great until, you guys might know what happens to him. He falls in love with a lady named Delilah, who is a Philistine at the time. So he fell deeply in love with her. In chapter 16, it says that he fell in love with a woman from the Valley of Sorek whose name was Delilah. The rulers of the Philistines came to her and said, "See if you can lure him into showing you the secret of his great strength and how we can overpower him so we can tie him up and subdue him. Each one of us will give you 1,100 shekels of silver." So Delilah went to Samson and says, "Oh, Samson, please tell me the secret of your great strength and how you can be tied up and subdued." So the first time he tells her that in verse 7, it says, "If anyone ties me with 7 fresh thongs that have not been dried, I'll become as weak as any other man." So Delilah tells the Philistines, they come in with the men that are hidden in the room. She says to him, "Oh, Samson, the Philistines are upon you." You like my Delilah imitation? I've been working on that for like 2 weeks. "But he snapped the thongs as easily as a piece of string snaps when it comes close to a flame, and the secret of his strength was not discovered." So once again, Delilah, she's pretty persistent here. She comes back and says, "You made a fool of me and you lied to me. Come now, tell me, how can you be tied?" And he tells her another story. "If anyone ties me securely with new ropes that have never been used, I'll become as weak as any other man." So, same story. "Oh, Samson, the Philistines are upon you." And once again, he snapped the rope snapped off his arms as if they were threads. Once again, Delilah comes to him, says, "Please do not lie to me. Tell me how you can be tied." And he said, another story, "If you weave 7 braids of my head into the fabric of the loom and tighten it with the pin, I'll become as weak as any other man." Once again, you probably know what's going to happen. Samson, the Philistines are upon you. And he woke up, pulled the pin and the loom with all the fabric, and he took care of the Philistines. So 3 times she's come to him very persistently and said, "Please tell me what's up. Tell me the secret of your strength." Okay? He's told her 3 fibs. And finally, he just got tired of it, to be quite honest with you. And he says, she said, how can you say I love you when you won't confide in me? This is the 3rd time you've made a fool of me and haven't told me the secret of your great strength. And then in verse 16, it says, "With such nagging, she prodded him day after day until he was tired to death. Then he told her everything." So she was persistent. She nagged and nagged. And finally, he told her. In verse 17, it says, "No razor has ever been used on my head because I have been a Nazarite, set apart to God from birth. If my head were shaved, my strength would leave me, and I would become as weak as any other man." You can read later on in the story, and you can kind of guess what happens here. She goes to the Philistines, says, "Hey, I've got it now. He's told me exactly what's going on." They cut his hair, and when the Philistines come upon him, he has no strength. In verse 21, it says, "The Philistines seized him, gouged out his eyes, and took him down to Gaza. Binding him with bronze shackles, they sent him to grinding in the prison." So he became imprisoned and was conquered because he gave up the information and what was to not ever have taken place for the Spirit of God to be upon him. They cut his hair, and the Spirit of God left him, and he was no longer able to defend himself. Samson was influenced by Delilah, was he not? Big time, right? She nagged, she was persistent, and finally he gave in. He caved. He forgot that it was God who gave him the strength to defeat the Philistines. To me, it seems like he got a little too big for his britches, if you will. You know, he was thinking, "Oh, it was all him and all this stuff. Look at my hair. I'm just awesome. I'm just doing great." But then he gave up the information to someone after persistency. He was influenced, wasn't he? Influenced in a negative way. And it caused him to be seized and imprisoned. So what are your influences that are influencing you in a negative way? it's causing you to be influenced or to be imprisoned and influenced not in the way you should be. Just a few that came to mind, influences that take us away from God, your attitude, gossip, drama, maybe a bar, local bar that you go to, music, movies, technology, alcohol, friends. The list could probably go on and on, right? What influences you and takes you away from God? We, like Samson was, we are set apart for God from birth. Samson was, so are we. But if we let negative things influence us, it gets in the way of our relationship with God. And we can't fulfill what he wants us to. We're all here for a purpose. And with those negative things, we're not going to fulfill that purpose. We have to get rid of negative things in our life that are influencing us in a negative way. You know, the influences are things in our environment that are putting things in us. And you guys probably know this, that I work for a bank. And recently, it was probably November. We have an ATM that doesn't get, the money doesn't get put in by us. Thank goodness. It gets taken care of by an outside company named Brinks. I don't know if I should say that over the radio, but I will. But anyway, so they come in and they take care of putting our money in our ATM. Well, a customer came in and said, hey, I was just at the ATM to get $40. I got $20 instead. I'm like, okay, this is strange. This has never happened to me, whatever. I'm like, okay, and I'm thinking, this isn't right. They pushed the wrong button. But when the second, third, and fourth person came in and said the same thing, they were all getting half of the money that they wanted. Something's up. Okay, I'm believing you now. So I call the ATM people, and they loaded the ATM wrong. They put the cassette of 20s in the 10s. No. They put this cassette of 10s in the 20s. So people were getting half their money every time. If we, in our lives, want to get a $20 bill out, we have to put a $20 bill, we have to load it right, guys. We can't put $10 bills in our life and expect to get a $20 bill out. Make sense? You got to load yourself right. Okay? Because it's going to, interesting. But we have to make sure that what influences us and what we're putting in our minds and in our heart is what we want to get out. What do you let influence you that causes your demise? What are those things? Think about it. I think some of the biggest things that influence people's lives are the friends that they have or the people that they have around in their life, right? These are the people that we hang out with all the time, and they can totally influence us. They're having a bad day or a bad time. We can be influenced by that, okay? It's very important that we have quality friends in our life, not quantity. I would take one awesome, great friend centered by God that I could go to for advice than 100 worldly friends that don't know anything about me or my relationship with God. The Bible, just so you guys know this, side note, the Bible gives us advice with everything, every possible thing that you could be going through, okay? Friends are included in this book. It tells us how to pick good friends. In 1 Corinthians 15:33, it says, do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. Proverbs 12:26 says, a righteous man is cautious in friendship, but the way of the wicked leads them astray. Proverbs is great with stuff for any kind of, if you need any wisdom on anything, just go to Proverbs. It'll tell you exactly what to do. And 2 Corinthians 6:14 says, a lot of people actually think about this. It says to not be unequally yoked with others. And a lot of times people think of that as like a partnership or your marriage. But it can also be included in the friends that you have. Don't be unequally yoked with other friends. There's a fun with friends that are negative towards you or in their life. You can't be unequally yoked. They need to be God-centered as well. There's a fine line there, right? Because we want to make sure that we're shining the light of Jesus and God to the world. But we have to be careful with that fine line to not cross that fine line too much. OK? okay? We have to be wise. We have to be centered. We have to make sure that we're in communication with God. Okay, God, how far do I need to take this? Because I can't lose myself and I can't be influenced negatively. You have to help me, God, okay? There's a fine line there, and I understand that, but we have to be wise about how far we go. I have recently read a book about an NBA basketball referee, which probably should come to no surprise for you guys that I would read something like that. Anyway, he was actually, before he was a referee in the NBA, he was a he was a New Jersey State police officer, and he was asked to go undercover with the FBI to infiltrate the mob in New Jersey, okay? He was in this operation for 18 months, which I think is kind of a short time frame, to be quite honest with you. Like, 18 months of my life just seems like, poof, it would go like that. So for 18 months, which I think is kind of a short time frame, he was completely involved with these people. He had to not be in communication with his family or his own other friends that he had with the state troopers. He basically plucked himself out of that life and put himself into a negative, awful, awful life. And it taught, he really did a great job of, without getting into too many details, of explaining how the life was. I mean, he was on the edge of his seat at all times. He never knew what was going to happen, what was around the corner. He was gathering information, so he was bugged, is that what you would call it? He had, you know, all this, and this was like a long time ago, so it wasn't nearly as like high-tech as what it is today, but he was always always worried about his own well-being and what was going to happen with him. And what's interesting the most to me was, it was a cool story to see how they did it and then all the rest that they made afterwards. What was really interesting to me was afterwards, he felt awful that he was giving these people up. He thought that, you know, I mean, his mind, he had been in that environment for so long that he felt guilty that these people that he knew were doing awful things, that he was giving them up because they were like his friends and family. That's how our life can be if we surround ourselves with the wrong people. We, before we know it, in a short amount of time, whoa, what's going on? Where am I? I've lost myself. I don't know what's going on. We have to be cautious, guys. We have to be cautious about who we surround ourselves with. It's imperative. God wants us to know that today. Take a look at that. Take a look at who you spend your time with and what you spend your time doing. So I think it's an interesting question that came to me as I was preparing for this sermon is, if you go outside this church, out of these church walls, are you a completely different person than when you're inside these church walls? We should be the same either way. You know, Revelation 3:15 through 16, I have it marked here, sorry. It says, I know your deeds, not you are neither hot nor cold. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you're lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. God wants us to be hot for him all the time. He doesn't want lukewarm people. He's going to spit us out if we're not. We can't ride the fence when it comes to God. We're either for God or not for God. That's it. Those are the two choices. You can't have one foot in the world and one foot in God and be balancing back and forth. And trust me, it's just a lot easier if you just get on one side of the fence with God and just say, that's it. It's so much easier. There's no need to ride the fence. You're making it harder on yourself. You can't be wavering. So how do you get your strength? You know, how do you get your strength to be on one side of the fence? There's only one way, in my opinion. It's God. He's the only way. He's our only source of strength. We can talk. I can talk to Pastor Wanda and call her up all the time. I can go to any kind of support group I want and counseling and this and that and the other. But until I do it with the strength from God helping me, that's the only way that I'm going to surround myself with good people, be influenced in a positive way, and not ride the fence, and be in it for God all the way. So, to finish up the story with Samson, that's where he got his strength. Because Samson's story doesn't end there. If we read on in chapter 16, Samson's brought out in front of the Philistines to entertain them, all of them. All the leaders and all the Philistines, they're mocking him, making fun of him. And he says to a servant, he says, put me where I can feel the pillars that support the temple so that I may lean against them. Now the temple was crowded with men and women, as I just said. All the rulers of the Philistines were there. And on the roof were about 300 men and women watching Samson perform. And Samson prayed to the Lord. He said, O sovereign Lord, remember me. O God, please strengthen me just once more and let me with one blow get revenge on the Philistines for my two eyes. Samson then reached toward the two central pillars on which the temple stood, and bracing himself against them, his right hand on the one and his left on the other, Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. He pushed with all his might, and down came the temple of the rulers and all the people in it. Thus he killed more when he died than when he lived. Samson found his strength, and his strength was from God. God alone. That's it. End of story. You can, I was, you know, you can think of, okay, music's on this side, friends are on this side. Ah, push them. With God's strength, push those things that are just bringing you down, those things that influence you negatively. You can just push them with God's strength and they'll come tumbling down and you'll be free. You'll be free. Free indeed. If you stand, there's a famous quote by Alexander Hamilton. It says, if you stand for nothing, you will fall for anything. Right? I think it goes perfectly with today's sermon, with with today's message and what God wants us to know. Stand for what you know and believe. Stand for God, or you're going to fall for anything that you might get influenced by negatively. There's a song on the radio these days, and this is where the title of the sermon comes from. It's called I Rock My Halo, and it's a cool little upbeat song. I don't know if any of you heard it, but I rock my halo, I rock my halo, okay? And it's a great song. The words are about being for God. They're not ashamed. You know, they're out there and they're just, they're rocking their halo. We all need to rock our halos. When we leave this church, people need to see, oh my gosh, there's something different about that person. And they need to know that it's God. We can't let other things get to us. Friends, whatever those other things are, guys, we can't let them bring us down. We have to rock our halo. Be influenced in a positive fashion. Amen? All right. So we're going to go ahead and transition into communion. I'm going to have Mel come up and sing a song of her choice. Okay, she's not going to sing I Rock My Halo. Darn. And I want you to take this time as she's singing and the music is pouring out, just to be in a moment with God. Just take these few minutes and just, I tend to like shake my leg and stuff. Just be still. Just rest with God. Just rest in Him and ask Him those questions. What do I need to clean up in my life? What do I need to not influence me? What is bringing me down? Take those few minutes right now this morning. Just don't worry about anything else that's going on. And then when we're finished, we're going to transition right into communion this morning for you to come and partake of the communion. And my prayer today is that you really, 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 during this time, contemplate and really, really ask God and listen for Him to tell you. Listen to for Him, not what you think, but for what He says and the changes that need to be made in your life.